Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
How many love the Word of God? Exodus 14, verse 29, it says, "But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore." Verse 31, "And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses." Now turn with me to the same book, Exodus chapter 15. Just turn one page over perhaps, and you may just look on your other side of your screen, however you're doing it. Let's look at chapter 15 and verse 1. The Bible says, Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, "I will sing." Someone shout, sing. "I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath God thrown into the sea." Today we're going to be talking about a message we've simply entitled, "Singing the Right Song When Living on the Wrong Side." Singing the right song when living on the wrong side. Take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity. And let's ask God's blessings upon this word. Father, we love you. We're so thankful for the reading of your word. Let your word go forth in power and demonstration of your spirit. A powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. Holy Spirit, we're so thankful that you're here. Continue to lead and guide and direct us. Bring all things back to our remembrance. Whatsoever has been spoken, whatsoever has been written, give us the insight for our eyesight. Open our ears that we may hear what you are saying to the church. And when we leave this place, we will bear much fruit and continue to operate in your gifts. So confirm your word with signs and wonders in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. We pray and everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence of the reading of God's word. I want to begin this first segment today and want to talk to you a little bit about making a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. Could you imagine right now directing an orchestra or even directing a choir that you cannot hear? Think about that. Could you imagine playing a soundless piano or any type of soundless stringed instrument in front of hundreds of people? Can you imagine the hurdle, the challenge it would have been to do something like that? I want to show you something, picture of one of the greatest composers. His name is Ludwig van Beethoven. He is probably one of the greatest, most famous composers of some of the most recognizable symphonies. But did you know that Beethoven started to go deaf in his late 20s? Began to go deaf. By the age of 49, Beethoven was completely deaf. There's a music director by the name of Donato Cabrera. He writes this. He says, "How Beethoven dealt with this deafness is one of the greatest stories of humanity, not just one of the greatest stories of music. Beyond the fact that Beethoven struggled to hear the music he composed, Beethoven lived in the late 1700s and the early 1800s. It was during a time when deafness was rarely understood. Nobody understood why someone would go deaf or lose their hearing during that time. It was documented that Beethoven would at times, he would bite down on a metal rod to feel the vibrations of the piano. Or he would even place his teeth on the keys. Or even at times he would cut the legs off the piano and place his head on the floor to just sense the vibrations. One of the most famous songs, and I think you would recognize it if we were able to play it today, is called Ode to Joy. This was Beethoven's ninth symphony. And this ninth symphony, one of the most famous songs, compositions that he ever created, he wrote that completely deaf. It's amazing to me. And so this brings up this point that I want to drive today, that I want to unpack today in your life. You don't need good sound. You don't need good instruments. You don't need good singers. You don't need good music to praise God. What you and I need is a good God. How many can believe today that God is a good God? I may not be the best singer. I may not be the best pianist, best musician on the planet. Doesn't matter to me, because I'm not praising Him because of, with my gift and just with my talent. I'm praising Him because He's a good God. He has done so much for me, I can't tell it all. Is there anybody in this room this morning besides myself can give God the highest praise? Can give God the glory and honor for all that He's done in our life? I love this concept, thinking about God being a good God. Psalms division 95 and verse 1 says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord." What does it say? Let us make a joyful noise to who? To the rock of our salvation. Then he says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a what? A joyful noise unto him with psalms. That's why I'm here today, is to make God a joyful noise. I missed notes this morning on the piano. You may have recognized it. You may have heard it. Didn't matter to me, because I wasn't here to perform. I'm here to praise. You are not the audience. I hate to break it to you today, but God is the audience. I came to give God glory and give Him praise and to honor Him, the rock of my salvation. You don't know what I've been through, and I don't know what you've been through, but it should behove us today to take at least 5 seconds of our time and stand right now and give God the highest praise, because He's done so much for me. My, oh my. True, authentic, genuine praise, Sister Linda Wallen, it wakes up the senses. It stirs up the heart. It ignites the fire. It gets the feet moving. It gets the hands clapping. It gets the heart racing. Why? Because we are enthroning God. He inhabits the praises of His people. And there's something about giving a good God all of our praise. Hallelujah. Can you praise God without music? Can you praise God without music? Can you make a joyful noise without music? Can you make a joyful noise? Can the church give God a glorious time of exaltation without the B3? Can we corporately, collectively give God a great praise without the drums, without the bass, without the guitar, without the piano, without a microphone, without the X32, without these Behringer speakers? Can we give God a good, genuine praise without the subwoofers? Can we give God a genuine praise without the praise and worship leaders, without the choir? Listen, all it requires for you and I to give God a good, grandiose praise is the breath that He has given us to give Him the glory and the honor. My, oh my. How many feeling it this morning? I want you to think about this. If Beethoven can compose his most famous symphony while deaf, think about that. The church can compose a supernatural, joyful noise with thanksgiving that shakes the community of Blytheville. I see it happening. I've said it when I was a youth pastor, Brother Vernon, and I'll say it now standing behind this pulpit at the end of 2025. God is about to shake this town. God is about to shake Mississippi County. God is about to shake the Booville. No, it's not the New Madrid fault. No, it's not an earthquake that everybody's getting scared about. All the tremors that are happening. No, it's about Gospel Lighthouse Church. You've been through hell and high water. Some of you face the shadow and the valley of death. Some of you went through sickness. Some of you went through pain. Some of you went through relationships that almost just broke down. But you are here today to give God praise through all the tribulation and through all the tests and through all the trials. Why? Because God is a good God. My, oh, my. There's another famous composer. I want you to put his picture up. Johann Sebastian Bach. Did you know that before Bach started scoring a sheet of music, he would initial the letters JJ at the very top? JJ stood for this. I believe it was Latin. It stood for Jesu Java. J-E-S-U-J-A-V-A. And it meant this. It meant Jesus help me. Every time he would begin to write, he would put JJ at the very top of his composition. But this is what's amazing, was at the completion. The completion of every song he wrote, every composition that Bach wrote, he would write the letters S-D-G. S-D-G. When I read that, I thought about my beautiful wife. When she was in college, and I guess she did it in high school too, but when she would take a final exam, she would always write Philippians 4:13. Am I right? She would always write it on her essay or whatever she was filling out. For Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. But when I read this, I thought this was amazing. What is S-D-G? S-D-G is the Latin phrase, Soli Deo Gloria. S-O-L-I-D-E-O-G-L-O-R-I-A. Soli Deo Gloria. What does that mean? It means to the glory of God alone. I want to see some church people begin to start their life with a JJ, start their week with a JJ, and end their week with an SDG. Start your business plan with a JJ, but end it with the SDG. Begin your marriage. Hey, begin your marriage with a JJ, but end it with an SDG. Begin your life every day when you wake up. Thank God. Before I ask him anything, I thank him for everything. But I give a JJ. Jesus, I need you. I need you today. Help me this day. Help me when I go to my job. Help me to make the right decisions in my school or when I'm just driving down the road. But when I put my head down to rest, to sleep, I'm saying, to God be the glory for all the great things you have done. Have you ever heard the phrase, if we don't praise God, the rocks will cry out? Anybody heard that phrase, that expression before? This is where this actually came from. Look at Luke chapter 19, verse 37. It'll be on your screen. It says, and when he, talk about Jesus, was come nigh or come near, even now with the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples, look what happens. They began to rejoice and praise God. How? With a loud voice. They're making a joyful noise. Why? For all the mighty works that they had seen. They've witnessed these great things. Now look what happens here. Verse 38. They're saying, blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. But look what takes place next. Look at the antagonist that entered the scene. It says, and some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and he said unto them, he said this, are you ready? He said, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. I don't want a rock take my place. But this is, I believe, the most important part is to recognize that there are religious people. Let's just say it like this. There is a religious system that wants to suppress your praise. And let me just say this. It may not even be a religious system. It may just be jealous people that want to suppress your praise. Has there ever been a time in your life When God has done something and you're excited about what God does, and you're just, the fire of God's burning within you, and you're just moving forward, and all of a sudden someone comes by and throws a wet, cold blanket on you and tries to suppress that joy, suppress that excitement or that hope. I want you to think about that. That is what Jesus was saying. If you continue to try to suppress their praise, you're not going to be able to stop the rocks, any other part of Mother Nature, because it is going to offer up God. All creation will offer up God a praise. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to read something to you I thought was interesting. A man by the name of Arnold Sommerfeld. He was a German physicist. But not only that, he was an accomplished pianist. He observed that, think about this, one single hydrogen atom, it emits 100 frequencies. He observed, think about that, one atom, just one hydrogen atom, it's able to emit 100 frequencies. How many keys are on that grand piano? 88. Isn't that amazing? That God, in His powerful creation, that one atom has more notes and more frequencies than a grand piano that only has 88 frequencies. Look at God. In fact, he also found out that the electron shell of the carbon atom produces the same harmonic scale as the Gregorian chant. This is incredible. Now listen, I want to show you something here. Why is this important? Why is this God, Jesus saying the rocks are crying out? The rocks are emitting frequencies to praise God. Atoms and hydrogens and whatever it may be. This is why. Because every single atom is a unique expression of God's creative power. Now we'll take it a little bit deeper. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Look at Colossians. Caleb, hand me my Gatorade. Colossians 1 and 16, when you find it, shall praise the Lord. Listen to what it says. Now look at verse 17. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. All things. This is what I find compelling. All things were created by God. Everything was created not only by God, but for God. For God. So this is why you have Bach writing SDG, because he truly believed every note that he composed would give God glory. When I'm up there playing, this gives me a new perspective. When I'm up there playing, I want to touch every key that produces every note that gives God the glory. When I'm up here preaching and I'm preaching His Word, I want every pronunciation of His Word, every syllable that I speak, I want it to give God the glory. Why? Because all things were created by Him and for Him. Do we do that? No, we don't. We don't give God enough glory. But I believe this is happening. I believe God is teaching us to sing the right song while living on the wrong side. Only by God's innovative genius can, think about this, can whale songs travel thousands of miles underwater. All things were created by God. Only God can create such power. Think about this. Meadowlarks have a range over 300 notes. Only God can create. That's creation giving God all the glory. In fact, according to bioacoustics, we are surrounded by millions of ultrasonic sounds. You ever heard that expression, if these walls could speak? They even say that sound molecules are embedded in solid matter. And so when you think about that, rocks crying out,
How could the blood cry out? And when Cain was killed, or Abel was killed, how could the blood cry out when it was spilled upon the stones? Because it has a voice. And you have a voice. And we have a voice. And I love this thought. Look what Lewis Thomas writes. It's going to be on your screen. He said, if we had better hearing and could discern the singing of seabirds, the rhythmic timpani of schools of mollusks, or even the distant harmonics of flies hanging over the meadows in the sun, the combined sound may lift us off our feet. How is it, Brother Carl? How is it, Brother Jeff, that the dead in Christ rise first, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet Christ? How is that possible? It is nothing but the sound of the trumpet, the sound of the shofar. It is the power of God through sound. Living and singing the right song, but living on the wrong side. Let's continue. Look at Revelation 4:11. It says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. That's awesome. Now look at verse 13, chapter 5, verse 13. And it says, And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say, are you ready? Blessing and honor, come on, and glory and power be unto Him that sits upon the throne and to the Lamb forever.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.